Honest information about living a healthy lifestyle on RadioMD.com. It's time for Naturally Savvy with natural visionary Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis.
Growing up, oh, by the way, this is Lisa Davis. Andrea Donsky is off today. Growing up, I was a very shy child, which is hard to believe now because you can't stop me from talking, but I was very uncomfortable. And anytime I knew I had to give a speech, or even if we were just going around the room saying something, my heart would beat so fast and I would turn bright red. And the other kids used to call me cherry face because I was constantly embarrassed and constantly anxious and please don't call on me and the whole nine yards. Well, somebody who knows a lot about being anxious is our next guest, Scott Stossel. He is the national best-selling author of My Age of Anxiety, Fear, Hope, Dread, and the Search for Peace of Mind. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you on. Scott and I have had the pleasure of speaking before, and I read his book cover to cover. It is absolutely fantastic. I highly recommend it. Now, it's funny. For me, Scott, my anxiety was really contained to just the classroom situation. In other areas of my life, I was okay. But for you, you talk about it being pretty crippling from the age of two on. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, sure. And although I'll start by saying that you know, I can totally relate to your public speaking fears and I've had friends who have had blushing problems. I mean, many people who have acute public speaking fears, you know, it becomes so debilitating, they become so self-conscious about their blushing that they actually contemplate there's a surgery you can get that actually cuts down on your blushing. And I can remember actually blushing for me is not a problem. It's more sweating and other symptoms. But I remember being in high school and several times, you know, giving a presentation in front of the class, and suddenly my head would start to swim and I'd have to, you know, excuse myself and sit down. And of course, you know, when you're a seventh grade boy and all your 12-year-old peers are laughing at you, that's about as mortifying experience as you can have at that age. But like you say, my anxieties and phobias sort of from a young age extended far beyond that and included things ranging from, you know, fear of heights and claustrophobia to separation anxiety about, you know, sort of terror of my parents dying or being away from my parents, to more idiosyncratic phobias like my emetophobia, which is the acute sort of pathological fear of vomiting, which I developed at a young age.
Yeah, those are so complicated. And one of the things, there's so many great things in your book. You really go into the history of anxiety, and I love how you call it the riddle of anxiety. Tell us a little bit about what you learned about this riddle.
Well, I learned a lot. It was in some ways therapeutic working on the book. You know, I was always interested in kind of the history of the idea of anxiety and also the science. And to some degree, anxiety remains a riddle, but it's a riddle that the investigation of which really sheds light not just on anxiety, but on the whole human condition. And that's, you know, for a few reasons, mainly, or the main one being that anxiety, like any emotion, and anxiety disorders, like any psychiatric or emotional disorder, you know, are a mixture of sort of a physical problem. This is a problem. It's a brain disease. It's a dysfunction of neurotransmitter systems. You know, people who are acutely anxious may have actually irregularities in the structure of their brain. And yet at the same time, it's also a psychological problem that's sort of overlaid on, you know, and maybe independent of these physical problems. And then also for many people, sort of a philosophical or a spiritual problem. About, you know, are you living the right life? Am I believing the right things? And so solving the riddle of anxiety, which is a kind of quote from a mid-century researcher in the 1950s at Cornell named Howard Liddell, sort of drawing on Freud, that if you can sort of solve the mystery of anxiety, which again is evolutionary designed impulse that kind of goes awry, you learn a lot about how the brain relates to mind and how we come together as personalities.
One of the things that really struck me in the book, too, was the idea of coming out. And you say, quote, "For a long time, governed by reticence and shame, I had told people who inquired about my book that it was a cultural and intellectual history of anxiety, true as far as it goes, without revealing its personal aspects." Tell us about that dinner party and how that really opened your eyes to things.
Well, yeah. So as you say, you know, I'm 45 years old now, and I was, you know, developed anxiety when I was 5 or 6, and was first diagnosed when I was 10. And for the, you know, 3 decades, I would go to great lengths to hide my anxiety. And, you know, I would keep my pills hidden away, and I would go to elaborate lengths to conceal my, you know, make up excuses for why I was disappearing for therapy appointments. And then as I was working on the book, I was at this dinner party, as you alluded to, and I sort of, you know, for the first time gingerly mentioned that, you know, it is an intellectual and scientific history of anxiety, but it's also kind of a memoir about my own experiences. And to my astonishment, it was a dinner party where there were probably, you know, 12 other people at the table and about six within an earshot, and all those six immediately came forward and shared their own experiences with anxiety, which were not limited experiences. Like, I think, you know, four out of the six of them had taken medications of various kinds and suffered from panic attacks. Some of them had been hospitalized. Some of them had, you know, similar phobias to me. Some of them had completely different. And that was the point I realized, you know, when they sort of came forward and shared with such sort of enthusiasm and sympathy, I realized, well, maybe coming out with this will not be, you know, shameful and isolating as I feared it might, but actually kind of empowering and, you know, create solidarity between me and my fellow anxiety sufferers.
Yeah, I think it makes so much sense to come out and talk about it. Another thing, too, you write is, quote, "I don't have to look far to find evidence of anxiety as a family trait." You write about your great-grandfather. And, you know, I look at my daughter who has anxiety and autism spectrum and ADHD and a couple other things. And I look at my family, I mean, my husband's family, my family. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, this makes sense. So that was something that I think I really do see that genetic link.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I kind of going into the book, I had a sort of intuitive sense of that, because I knew, as you say, that my mother's father's father had, you know, despite having a very successful career for many years, you know, in his late, he'd always been an anxious person, and in his 50s, which was in the late 1940s, you know, in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, he spent much of his time in and out of psychiatric hospitals undergoing all kinds of therapies. And then my mother, you know, kind of, I always assumed I learned from watching her a lot of my anxious temperament and some of my specific phobias. And then looking at the scientific literature, there are piles and piles of research now accumulating about what different genes and constellations of genes contribute to anxiety disorders. So, you know, I never want to say, no one should ever conclude that, you know, genes are destiny, or that your heredity is, you know, going to doom you to being eternally anxious or bless you with immunity to it. But it's a strong contributing factor. And then, of course, that interacts with the nature of your upbringing and the kinds of things you go through in life, trauma and so forth, sort of helps determine whether you will develop an anxiety disorder or be relatively serene.
You know, here on Naturally Savvy, we talk a lot about natural health and using alternative medicine, but I have to be quite frank, I think medication is great for some things. And I think that if that's something that somebody needs and they want to do it in conjunction with, or they've tried the natural remedies and there's a certain point in their life where they're like, you know what, this medication is really helping me, I have nothing against that. So I just want to throw that out there. I might be shocking some listeners, but I think it's really important to keep an open mind and not be judgy.
Yeah, and what I would say is, you know, I talk a lot about medication in my book, and I have mixed feelings about it myself. And I think all things being equal, you're better off not having to rely on medication for anxiety or whatever your psychological ailment may be, because, you know, there are side effects associated with them and dependency issues sometimes, and sometimes the drugs are just masking an underlying, they're treating symptoms but not the underlying problem, and actually keeping you from addressing the underlying problem. But all that said, if you are in acute distress, you know, for many people, including myself at times, you know, taking a pill is a difference between the ability to lead a kind of normal functional life and being, you know, rather debilitated and housebound. So I agree with you.
Scott, the time goes by way too fast. I say that all the time. My Age of Anxiety, Fear, Hope, Dread, and the Search for Peace of Mind. You could learn more about Scott by going to www.scottstossel.com. That's one L in Stossel. And I just want to thank you. This book really is so incredible, and the research and your own personal story. So thank you so much for coming on Naturally Savvy. It's been such a pleasure.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So be sure to listen to Naturally Savvy here on Radio MD. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Stay well, take care of yourself, and have a great day.